Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. Hey, Marcellino D'Ambrosio is going to be with us second hour. We haven't had Dr. Italy on for a long time. It's been a while since we've had Dr. Italy on, and we're going to have two members of his family this summer. We'll talk about that with him the second hour, but Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio to talk about the gift of the papacy. So hang on for the second hour for that. This hour, the young whippersnapper. If Dr. D'Ambrosio has been at this for a while, Adrian Lawson is relatively new to it, but he's got a fantastic YouTube channel. Just hang on, Adrian. I can get through this. I want to show
you. Do the intro?
No, I'm going to handle it. Sips with Sarah is his YouTube channel, and he talks about his own conversion to the Catholic faith, and he helps other people come into the Catholic faith by talking about how Catholicism is the truth, and it's a real alternative, and you can do it, and it helps, and it's good for you. And,
it is,
and it connects you with the living God and all of that. Adrian Lawson, thanks for being here with you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Should again. I, Mr. Sips, or just Adrian? What would you prefer?
Adrian's good.
Adrian's okay.
Yeah, Sips right. Is kind of weird.
All right. Well, you don't have to put me down right from the beginning. What do you do at Sips and Sarah? Sips with Sarah. What happens there? And Sarah, by the way, is not a lady named Sarah.
No.
It's S-E-R-R-A. And anybody in California would know who that is. But yeah. I honestly, as a Californian, I don't know how many people know St. Junipero Serra. But he's the apostle to California. Mm-hmm. He brought the Catholic faith here. So what happens on Sips with Sarah?
We talk about why Catholicism is true and all of the various topics that come up with that. So I talk about the Marian dogmas, why those are true, why it's important that they are dogmatized. I talk about the papacy, what the early church believed in regards to all these things. Basically, any of the topics that people might have a hard time with coming into the church or might have a hard time defending to their friends and family who are not yet in the church. That's what we talk about over there. Lately, I've also been wrestling with Islam, so that's kind of what I've been getting into lately as well.
So basically you're doing our show is what you're.
Yes. I'm here to take over. I'm trying to do what you guys do. You guys have been a big help for me.
One of the things that I think that you have a lot of fans around here, but it's always so gracious of you to come all the way in. You probably are 60 miles from here or something like that.
Something right? like that, yeah. About an hour and a half.
Hour and a half drive, which is 8 miles in California.
That's true. Yeah.
So thanks for coming in. But today we're going to talk with folks. The theme of our show today, of our hour with Adrian Lawson from Sips with Sarah is, I want to become Catholic, but, and if that's you, 888-318-7884. What are your obstacles to conversion? What's getting in the way? If you've got one you want to talk about with Adrian, he's been through a lot of them with other people, and he's been through them himself. I want to become Catholic, but, and then you fill in that blank, 888-318-7884. When you were considering entering the Catholic Church, if you had said the sentence, I want to become Catholic, but what would have been on the other side of that? What would have been to fill in where the ellipsis is there?
It would have been a couple of things. Probably the papacy and prayer to the saints. Prayer to the saints, I was a little bit more far along on because I had already accepted the Marian dogmas, thanks to famously Tim Staples' book. So I was like, okay.
Oh, that's right. You read part of Tim Staples' book, and that got you over. I remember that now. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I was kind of further along on that, but I was like, I don't understand, like, having, you know, a saint that you pray to, like, a devotion to a saint, like, that feels kind of weird. It was very alien to me at the time, so I was still kind of wrestling with that. But the papacy was also a really big one. I understood the practicality of it, but I was like, I don't really see this, at least at the time. I didn't see it in the scriptures, and I didn't see it in the early church. Now I have a whole video dealing with the papacy and the scriptures in the early church, and I think it's very clear.
Is it one of those things, like one of those puzzles where you don't see it, and then when you do see it, you can't stop seeing
it? Yeah,
Is that how it feels to you?
100%. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I was talking to a Protestant friend, and I told him, I'm at the point now that I think this is so clear in the scriptures, now that I've seen it, like you said,
yeah,
that if Catholicism isn't true, I don't really know that I could believe in Christianity in general, because the promises that Jesus made about the church were so clear, and the authority that he gave to Peter was so clear, and the fact that that authority passed on was so clear in the early church, that if we're wrong about these very foundational things, then I don't know what we could say we're right about. So I'm like way on the other end of that now.
888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. Adrian Lawson is our guest. Sips with Sarah is his YouTube channel. And you can check it out. You've got a whole bunch of videos over there. So other than yourself, you deal with other people, right? Because they say, Adrian, I know your story, but I'm not ready to come into the Catholic Church because mm-hmm. what do they put on the other end of that?
Man. So I know some folks who were raised Catholic and have kind of fallen out of it and are kind of in the Protestant world. And it sounds to me, just hearing from their story, that they, when they were raised, they weren't properly catechized. They didn't understand what any of this stuff meant. And they were just kind of told, this is what you do.
Yeah.
Or else you're going to get punished by your parents or something like that. So there's a lot of that where people just like don't understand. So they're kind of, even though they've technically been in the faith their entire life, they're kind of asking the basic questions of like, why do we have priests? Why do we have bishops? Why do we have the Pope? Like, why can't I just go to a pop-up church down the street from Pastor Bob or whatever?
Right, right.
And so there's a lot of these foundational things that people weren't taught. So I that's one of the big ones is like, why do we do all of this stuff?
It's weird. It does seem weird that this is a very modern objection in many ways. I mean, I know it's always existed, but it's like we live in this world where we think that if you organize the train system, it runs better. And so you want that, you know, you want cities that work and are well organized. But when it comes to religion, it's like, nah, organize.
Yeah, get your hands off of that.
It's too complicated. Why should it be so complicated? It's like, well, like a watch is complicated. And the reason it is because that's how it works. If you took out pieces, it wouldn't work.
Right.
But we have a very modern objection to religion being at all developed. It's got to be almost primordial and the religion of a caveman in order to be authentic.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to you hear about parents who they're like, I don't want to push my religion on my child because I want them to kind of figure it out for themselves. But it's like, do you let your child figure anything out for themselves? Or
yeah, how did you do that with light bulbs?
Right.
Did
you cover the electric sockets? hope so.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's very... would you say people like see the Catholic Church as an inauthentic thing because it is so structured and organized?
I don't know. I think they think of it as too authoritative.
Ah, so they're okay, like, that's a different thing. Okay,
I want it to just be me and Jesus, and the fact that you're having this priest involved and these bishops and all this stuff. That feels weird to me. Like, why would somebody else be involved in my spirituality?
Oh yeah.
So the individualism that we live in, that's become, kind of, what do you call it? Pervasive. Like, you don't really even see it because it's the culture we were raised in. I think that's a big obstacle.
I wonder if when Jesus sent the apostles out two by two and they went into a town, people were like, I just really want this to be a me and Jesus thing. So could you just go back to him and tell him to come directly? I'm sick of him sending people.
Right.
Do you think that they did, that was?
Oh, like, yeah.
Thank you, James and John, for coming to my Samaritan town. But I was really hoping just to have it me and Jesus.
Yeah.
I think that's the response they got.
I hope not, because Jesus said, whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the Father who sent me. So I hope not.
888-318-7884 is the number. Adrian Lawson is our guest. As I have said, he's the host of Sips with Sarah. He's the founder of Sips with Sarah, a wonderful Catholic YouTube channel, gaining subscribers all the time, growing and growing because it's good quality stuff. And if you'd like to talk with him, there's still three lines open, 888-318-7884. We will get to the callers who are on the line right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
We're here for you. Call now. Catholic Answers Live. Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church, on the web at magnificat.com.
Proclaiming the faith, changing lives.
The year was 1981. The FCC license to operate a satellite earth station, the first ever given to an order of nuns, was granted to Our Lady of the Angels Monastery. Mother Angelica flips the switch and EWTN begins transmitting from Irondale, Alabama.
To learn more about Mother Angelica's life and the history of EWTN, visit EWTN.com/Mother Angelica.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Heading to the phones. Our topic, I want to become Catholic, but if there's something between you and the Catholic Church, between you and full communion with the Catholic Church, and you'd like to share it with us, Adrian Lawson is here from Sips with Sarah. 888-318-7884 is the number. If you would like to see Adrian in person, he just told me he's going to be at our big annual conference, September 25th. Here in September 25th through 28th here in sunny Southern California. Just go to CatholicAnswersConference.com to get all the information. And if you don't want to see Adrian, we have a European cruise coming up that he will not be on.
So I will not be on that.
I know you're not going to be on that. We've specifically said, don't come with us, Adrian.
Yeah.
That's not really true.
I wasn't invited to that one.
But cabins in various levels of the ship. The entire ship will be Catholic Answers folks. We'll be doing presentations and having fun and taking tours, but mostly seeing the heart of Christian Europe, the place where in the Rhine River there, that valley, that's right where Boniface himself came and established Christianity. We'd love it if you'd come. Just go to CatholicCruise.com if you'd like to know more about it. It's all the way in May of next year, CatholicCruise.com. I can promise you it's going to be a great cruise, and I can promise you that Adrian will not be there. 888-318-7884 is the number here. Let's go to, want to take a call now?
You sure.
All right.
Yeah.
Natalie in Lubbock, Texas, watching on YouTube. We're awful glad you're here. Natalie, go ahead with your question.
Yes, I just had a question. So I come from a Protestant family. I wasn't really raised in any religion until I met my fiance. He was actually born and raised a Catholic. So he actually introduced me to the Catholic faith. And I'm actually going to be starting my conversion next month in August. I'll be taking OCI classes.
Congratulations, Natalie.
Thank you. And whenever I was explaining to my sister, she had said that, they worship Mary, they do this, they worship saints and stuff, and I tried to explain to her that we don't worship them, we kind of just pray to them to ask for their intercession. And she was like, you can't because, they're dead. And what I don't understand is that I actually lost my dad about a year ago. And she believes in, signs from him and stuff. She talks to him, and I'm just like, well, if you can, do you think the same thing, that just because our dad's dead, you can't talk to him, so therefore, can we not pray to Mary and the saints?
Wow, Natalie. I'm going to let Adrian answer you, because this is one I know he's very comfortable with, because he went through a very similar thing himself. But I just want to say, you said, when your sister said those things, you said, no, that's not what we do. And I'm glad you used the word we, because when someone becomes a catechumen, someone becomes puts themselves in the position of beginning the entering the Catholic Church, you are one of us. The Church specifically says in her documents, especially in the Second Vatican Council, you belong to the Church. So I'm glad that you used the word we. You're not a we just when you receive the sacraments. You're a we when you start the process. So can you help her, Adrian, on the obstacle of praying to the saints and worshiping Mary and all that?
Yeah, I mean, thank you for calling, first of all, Natalie, and praise God that you're an OCIA. I'm curious, did you bring that objection up to your sister, and what did she say to that, if you have?
Yes. So we actually sat down in my room, and I'm actually getting married next month in the Catholic Church. It's just going to be a ceremony. And whenever I told her that, she just kind of kept going, you know, on and on about they do this, they do that, they have statues, they have pictures in the church. And she was also saying that pictures and statues bother her as well. And when I told her that, you know, she pretty much just said, you know, oh, you know, they're dead. You know, you can't pray to them. And I used the example, like, okay, so why is it, if we can go straight to God and pray to Him, why is it that you asked for family or you asked for your friends to pray for you?
Right.
It's the same thing that we do. And she was like, no, like, that's different because we are praying for each other because we're alive. So.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, there are many, many examples, especially there are a few in Revelation that tell us that the saints are not only not dead, but they are alive and aware of what is happening on earth. For example, I'm blanking on the chapter of Revelation, maybe you know, but where the martyrs are actually praying for justice on earth for those who martyred them. So they are they're aware that the people who martyred them are on earth. They haven't received their justice yet, and they're asking God, how long until you bring justice to them? So that's one example of a very clear example of people in heaven being aware of what's going on earth. Also, we're told in Hebrews chapter 12 that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Before that, it's describing the many great prophets that have come before us. And if we're surrounded by them, then of course they're aware of what's going on, and we can ask for their prayers. And then, not to bombard you, but as far as the statues, if you go and look at the construction of, in the Old Testament, of the tabernacle, of the Ark of the Covenant, God gives Moses very specific instructions of, you're to build statues of angels. And there are even angels that are in the curtain in the temple. So if I think where they're getting this from is the commandment of thou shalt not have any graven images, and that's always kind of taken out of context to mean that you can't have any statues. But interestingly, a lot of people who say that will even have statues in their own house of angels. I have family who will press me on this, and I'll say, you have a statue of an angel right there. I don't know if that's the case here, but I don't think you can be consistent with that, because then you'd have to say that God commanded Moses to commit idolatry, which obviously, and then you think of the snake on the snake after the Israelites were bitten by snakes, and Moses made a snake on a rod, a statue of a snake on a rod for them to look at and be cured. So these are all instances of, you know, yes, there are statues that are commanded to be made. When you worship those statues, that's a problem, but that is not what we're doing, obviously.
Is that helpful to you, Natalie?
Yes, that is very helpful, and I'm actually learning more as I continue this path, but I'm very excited to learn even more, so that way next time I can defend my faith even stronger towards my sister.
I tell you what, if you'd like it, I'd like to send you a book by our colleague, Dr. Carlo Broussard. It's called The Saints Pray for You, and it's a whole book where he kind of goes into great detail about the Catholic teaching and defends the Catholic teaching on the fact that the saints are aware of us, that they pray for us, that they care about us, that they love us, and that they're better at praying and helping than the people here on earth because they have been made righteous. So if you want a copy of it, all you have to do is hang on the line, Natalie, and we'll send it off to you. And I got to say that I really enjoyed your call. And as you're going through the OCIA process, as things come up, you're welcome to call here whenever you like, all right?
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. You'll have a blessed day.
You too, Natalie. Thank you.
Didn't you guys do a video about... you guys did a video, every objection to prayer to the saints answered.
We did do that.
That was really good.
I wish I had thought of that when Natalie was... No, well, she's getting her book right now.
Yeah.
But they can tell her in there. That's right. We made that with... That was with Carlo,
yeah.
Dr. Broussard. I used to call him Carlo, but now I have to call him Dr. Broussard. A memo went out. There was a whole thing. That's not true, by the way. In case anybody thinks that's true, that's not really true. You want to do another call?
Let's do it.
I don't want to wear you out.
No, I mean, do you have something you want to talk about?
No, I just, you know, I don't know how many calls you can do in a day. All right, Spencer in Minnesota watching on YouTube. Welcome, Spencer. You got a question?
Hello.
Hi, Spencer.
Can you hear me, Mr. Kellett?
I can hear you, Mr. Spencer.
All right, yeah. I like the title of the episode. I guess my main thing that I'm a little bit intimidated by or nervous about the Catholic Church is the communion in one kind. That is only the priest needing to drink the cup.
Oh, that's an interesting objection. Okay.
I'm Lutheran, if that helps explain anything.
Minnesota, I guess you would be Lutheran. I think everybody in Minnesota is Lutheran. But no, I know there are a few others up there. But but something I don't know, and you'll have to help me with this, in your Lutheran church, when you share communion, do you both consume, you consume under both species?
Yes, that's correct. We drink and eat.
Yeah. And you feel that if you became a Catholic, you'd be giving up the chalice?
I know that, for a while in the church, it wasn't required, if I understand it correctly. And so that seems like an odd deviation from earlier on in the church.
Yep, okay.
I believe at the beginning, they all ate and drank, and then for a while, at least in the Catholic tradition, it seems they went to only eating.
Yeah.
And I understand you're consuming both blood and body, even if you only receive under one form.
Right.
But to deviate from that tradition seems a bit, intimidating, if that makes sense.
Spencer, I'm just going to kind of sum up, because I think it's a little muffled, and I want to make sure all of our listeners know. So Spencer's Lutheran, and his obstacle, really, to conversion to the Catholic faith is that in his Lutheran church, they receive both bread and wine in the Catholic church. He knows that in many cases, the chalice will not be offered to the lay folks there. And so what would you say about that, Adrian?
Yeah, I mean, as a former Lutheran, I kind of had this same question coming in. Learning that we get the fullness of Christ in either species really helped me out. But there are parishes, I've been to parishes a couple of times where they will give you both, the bread and the wine. But what I would say is that I would really look into the topic of valid ordination and apostolic succession, because yes, maybe you don't like only receiving one species, but if you are receiving the fullness of Christ in that species, and you are, if in your Lutheran church, you're receiving both, but that is not a valid Eucharist, then this is a really total different scale of what we're receiving here. Maybe that doesn't help, but that's kind of where I would approach that.
Yeah. So what you're saying, look, if symbolically, it is better to receive both the bread and wine, but if it's only a symbol, as it would be in the Lutheran communion,
they would say that it's not only a symbol,
but
that's why
you have
to look into, yes, that's why you have to look into valid ordination and apostolic succession.
Right.
Yeah.
So a validly ordained priest is required for the presence of the body and blood of Christ. Mm-hmm. So even if you are only receiving under one species, you're still receiving infinitely more than you would be. That's kind of where you were going.
Right.
Yeah. All right. I would like to come back to Spencer, but I have to be honest with you, Spencer. It was a little bit hard to hear. So I want to send you a book we have called The Eucharist is Really Jesus. And I think that you'll enjoy that. And I hope we will talk again, but for now, I'm going to send that book to you. It's by our colleague, Joe Heschmeyer. A very popular book, actually, and not a difficult read. He's a good writer. It's a good, smooth read, so check that out. 888-318-7884 is the number. All you have to do is stay on the line, Spencer, and we'll get that book to you. Let's go up to, is that Nicholasville, Kentucky? Jordan is in Nicholasville, Kentucky, watching on YouTube. I hope I got that right. Nicholasville, Kentucky, Jordan?
Yes, that's correct. And I won't be too offended. I'm kind of transient through here right now.
Oh, so it's not your town?
No, no.
Good, because I hate that town.
Yeah.
That is the worst town in America, Nicholasville, Kentucky. Oh, Adrian and I both hate it.
Can't stand it.
We're kidding, Kentucky. We're only kidding, Kentucky. Go ahead, Jordan.
Well, so my question is, when does intercessory prayer go from, asking for help to more of a superstition? I come from a Presbyterian background, and, not gonna lie, that whole St. Anthony thing seems a little off to me, especially the way people tend to use it seems a little irreverent sometimes.
Wait, have you heard the little poem?
In the situation of,
have you heard the little poem people say to St. Anthony? Tony?
I think that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I can't remember that, but people say a little poem. And that strikes you as superstitious and trivial rather than asking for real intercession.
Yep, and another example would be like burying a statue of St. Joseph in your backyard.
Oh, Lord, yeah.
That seems especially superstitious.
All right, hang on, Jordan. We have to do this. The music's playing, so I got to do it. But we'll come back and we'll talk about, are some of these Catholic practices superstitious? On Catholic Answers Live. Each Catholic is obliged to spread and defend the faith by word and deed. Well, we're here to help. Join special guests Chris Stefanik, Dr. David Anders, Steve Dawson, and all your favorite Catholic Answers apologists this September 25th through 28th in beautiful San Diego for the Catholic Answers Conference. Our theme? Go make disciples. Enjoy 4 days of faith, fun, and fellowship. Use promo code EARLY to save $50 when you register today at CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Lots of people have big questions about Catholicism. It needs a big book of answers, and now it's got one. The Big Book of Catholic Answers is filled with helpful replies to more than 250 questions about the faith. Questions about God, salvation history, the Creed, the Bible, the list goes on and on. Order your copy of the Big Book of Catholic Answers today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Why do Catholics pray to dead people, bow to statues, venerate relics? And where do we find any of this stuff in the Bible? In the delightful book, The Saints Pray for You, Dr. Carla Broussard convincingly defends the ancient Christian belief rooted in Scripture that the saints care for us, that they're our allies. Order your copy of The Saints Pray for You today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to CASociety315.com and join today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Our guest is Adrian Lawson from Sips with Sarah, which you can find on YouTube. He is very helpful. I would say that that's your thing, being helpful.
I try.
You're not a bombastic, wild, but you're helpful to people.
Wow.
That's what you're going for?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. Because it's hard to get attention on YouTube.
Oh,
it's hard to get attention. You can do it all different kinds of ways, but
I thought that would be a hindrance to me because I've always been told that I'm very monotone and that I'm not bombastic and like energetic and stuff. But actually, I've heard from people that follow the channel that they actually really prefer that because there's so many personalities online
that not that are having angry a personality. And... Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Not having a personality has worked out really well for
me. Good for you. Okay, good. We're talking about if you have an obstacle to coming into the Catholic Church, you're welcome to call today 888-318-7884. Jordan is in the worst town in America, Nicholasville, Kentucky. And his concern is, look, some of this stuff, like when Catholics, it's not just like the praying to the saints which my sense of what Jordan is saying is that that's not as problematic as the kind of flippant. Darren told me one that people say during the break, Hail Mary, full of grace, help me find a parking space. You say that particularly at Christmas time when you're going to the mall. And then the one that I was trying to remember was Tony, look around. Something is lost and must be found. Because, you know, you pray to St. Anthony when you've lost things. I pray to St. Anthony, and I don't think it's superstitious at all. I think this is a great ministry St. Anthony has, where he helps you with stuff, and it gives you, like, this confidence that you can talk to the people in heaven. And I think it's great. But I don't think I would pray, Tony, look around. Something lost. And is lost and must be found. And then the other thing Jordan mentioned was burying a statue of Saint Joseph in your yard. And that the version of that that I know, Jordan, and you'll have to tell me if I am right or not, is when people bury Saint Joseph in the yard because they want to sell their house. Is that what you were referring to, Jordan?
Yep, that's the one.
And any others? Because I'm happy to do all of them if you got more. Or do you want to just go with that?
No, that's the only. Those are the only ones that really come to mind. I, as a Protestant, looking, you know, trying to become a catechumen while still, you know, staying married, I really have no problem with intercession of saints. That was probably the easiest Catholic thing hurdle for me to get over.
Uh-huh. But it's the taking it or the kind of flippant or superstitious one that troubles you.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
Adrian,
exactly.
What do you say to that?
I mean, yeah, I'm with you. I don't think. For whatever, I mean, I don't know what the church teaches on this, but I am hesitant to call any saint by, like, a nickname.
Like a diminutive?
Yeah, really? I feel
Tony?
Weird about that.
Yeah. St. Pete. Could you help me, St. Pete?
A-O-P-D. Like, I would not do that.
Joni of Arc.
Yeah, but I do think that the saints are there for us in even the smallest things in life. Like, people might think it's silly to, hey, I lost my keys, let me ask St. Anthony.
No.
But I've done it, actually, in work, which is crazy. But it's a beautiful reassurance of faith. And if God can use those little moments of saintly intercession to strengthen our faith, then I don't see why he wouldn't.
He has strengthened my faith a lot through that. I think God knows that I'm very weak, and so but that actually has strengthened my faith. The fact that I can talk to the saints, mm-hmm. but I'm just going to go with the burying Saint Joseph in your yard so you can sell your house. Why don't you just talk to Saint Joseph? Like that.
Right.
That to me seems like the definition of superstition. Like, I don't think you should do that. I think that's a mistreating of the statue of Saint Joseph.
Right. I'm trying to enter into the mentality, because we do believe in relics and that relics have, you know, power, but. A statue of St. Joseph wouldn't be a relic. It would just be, maybe you had it blessed by a priest, but...
Very often you would have.
Yeah.
Right.
But I don't think that correlates to selling a house, necessarily.
No. So I guess, Jordan, the point is, I don't think that either Adrian or I are disagreeing with you. There are some things that Catholics do that are superstitious. But those things are just superstitions. They're not necessarily Catholic things. Jordan?
Right. It's funny, actually, if you go on Amazon and start typing statue of saint, the first thing that comes up is Saint Joseph the Berry for to sell house.
Oh.
Well.
And no, I do not believe that is Catholic in its, you know, in its origin. It's more sort of a perversion of mm-hmm. what it means to have that intercessory help.
Well, it's...
At least that's my thought on it.
Right. But, you know, it's like we believe in praying novenas. And some people would say that is superstitious. But here's an example of why I think it's not superstitious. If you miss a day of your novena, what the church advises in general in her manuals and things is just pick it up the next day and act like it, just ignore it, because it has nothing to do with what you're doing, which is asking God for help. Like, you, it's not magic. You're not doing a magic show where God has to do something for you because you got all 9 days. So if you get to day five and then you wake up and you go, on day four, I completely forgot this whole thing. As a Catholic, you're really not supposed to just start over. You're supposed to just go on, because that's the way to trust God. And that's the difference between superstition, magic, and religion. Religion is about disposing yourself to receive God's gifts by asking him for his gifts, it's not about manipulating him by doing a magic trick.
Right. Yeah.
Well, that's good, because I've accidentally skipped some novena days recently. So.
Well, I'm not saying I respect you for it, but no, but
is that what people do in Nicholasville?
In Nicholasville?
Yeah.
Don't get me started on Nicholasville, man. But anyway, Jordan, I don't think that we really argue about the fact that there are lots of superstitions in the world, and lots of Catholic people have superstitions as well.
I'd have to say I agree with you on that. Just like anyone can have superstition.
So do you want me to get you some phone numbers to Catholic churches where you can start coming in to the Catholic Church now?
I'm working on it through the cathedral in Charleston. So.
Oh, praise God.
I'm working on it. I'm just trying to...
How beautiful.
Just trying to work on that and stay married to someone who's not very... empathetic. So,
yeah, and that is a strain. God bless you for that. That's a strain. You're changing. She's not changing. So, it is something that we ask of the other person. We see that, even when two Catholics get married, often we'll see after, 5 or 6 years of marriage, one of them will suddenly become serious about being Catholic. And that puts a strain on the marriage, because the first one says, I didn't marry this. I didn't marry someone who's going to daily mass. I didn't marry someone who's... And so, yes, that's certainly the case that there's a kind of division that comes in the family when one moves and the other doesn't. If you'd like, Jordan, I'd be happy to send you one of our books. I would suggest Why We're Catholic. I'll send you that. But if you want another one, another great book that you might like is The Big Book of Catholic Answers. It's got more than 200 questions and answers from Catholic Answers. So if either of those books appeals to you, just hang on the line and tell Edgar. He's on another call at the moment, but hang on a minute and tell Edgar which one you'd like. In the meantime, I'm going to take a very quick break, and then we are going to continue with I want to become Catholic, but if there's an obstacle, if there's a condition that you need met before you can get into the church, you're welcome to call. Adrian Lawson is our guest from Sips with Sarah on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, this is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Keep your dial tuned to Catholic Answers Live.
In Morse code, the sequence SOS is a distress call. It's been said that it stands for Save Our Souls. Well, right now our world is in big trouble, and we're putting out an SOS call for help. Will you answer that call? St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, has hundreds of teams who share the good news with souls who don't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to get involved.
He is only one of four popes honored as the great.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Leo I was pope at a time when Roman civilization was being overrun by barbarian armies. He stood as a light in the darkness and even saved the city of Rome from destruction by Attila and the Huns. Leo died in 461.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest is Adrian Lawson. And if you don't know Adrian, you can find out all about him at Sips with Sarah on YouTube, where he himself chronicled his own conversion and still chronicles his own conversion to the Catholic faith. Would you say your conversion is ongoing, Adrian?
Every day.
Every day?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It was interesting to me, Ash Wednesday. It's I forget exactly what they say, but they say something like repent and believe in the gospel or something like that when they put the ashes on your forehead.
There's a wide variety of things that they can say.
Okay.
But that's very common.
Repent, yeah.
And believe the gospel. Yeah.
I was like, that's why I'm here. What do you mean? But that's kind of what I like about Catholicism, and I'm sure it exists in other Christian traditions as well. But the call to constant repentance and constant conversion.
And he's helping other people at their conversions as well. It's a community that's building up over there at Sips with Sarah. You should check it out. We're talking about people's obstacles to coming into the church. Kathy is in Bedford, New York. Kathy, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question for Adrian.
Yes, hi, Adrian. I heard you speak about people who were born and raised Catholic and then converted to the Protestant church. And I have a, you know, pretty much a best friend that I went to college with. We went to Providence College, Catholic College, and she didn't have a great experience growing up Catholic, and her parents got divorced when she was in high school. Mm. And after she got married in the Catholic Church, but to a Jewish man who was basically an atheist. They had beautiful children, and while she was married and, you know, before she started having children, she met this church minister, and she became part of this, I guess she was born again, you know, into this church, and realized, you know, about Jesus, and she became just a huge lover of God, and it, I mean, she's so she has a great relationship with the Lord, and we speak about God all the time. She, you know, she respects I'm Catholic, I respect she's Protestant, but I don't know how to tell her, you know, because I recently asked her why, you know why she you know, what, how she became, you know, how she got into the church and left the Catholic faith. And she said that you know, when she found Jesus in this church, that she went to her mother, who's Catholic, and practiced till her death, and said, you know, Mom, is it going to hurt you that I, you know, leave the church? And she said, oh, no, it doesn't matter. You know, she kind of gave her blessing. And so now I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know how to.
Yeah.
I want her to be Catholic again, because I mean, it's just such a beautiful faith. But she actually inspired me to become more, you know, more into my own faith and more of a practicing Christian.
Yeah.
So, praise God.
So.
All right. So how do we approach this, Adrian?
Oh man. Well, it sounds like you're doing a lot right. I think the worst thing you can do is to just keep bringing it up and try to argue and stuff like that. That's something I've done in my own life, and it doesn't work. It only strains relationships. So it sounds like you're doing things right. If you ask her why not become Catholic, why not go back to the faith that you were raised in, and she, you know, she might give you some answers that maybe you're not even prepared to answer in that moment, and that's okay. You can say, oh yeah, well, let me think on that, and let me see if I can go do some research, and I'll let you know what I find. And that's a good way to keep conversations going in a way that's not combative and in ways that are natural. I would also say that a good thing that keeps conversations going in that same way is just practicing your faith normally and inviting her to be a part of it. For example, you could invite her to Mass and say, hey, I know you got your church, but if you want to also come to my church one of these Sundays, that'd be great. You're welcome to do that. I'm happy to go to your church as well, obviously, assuming you fulfill the Sunday obligation. You know, different things like that. Would you like to try praying the rosary with me? Would you like to come with me to this event? Little things like that, I think, can be good opportunities.
Okay. So is it my obligation to try to convert her back? That's what I'm afraid of. Like, or should I just leave her where she is?
Well, ultimately, it's in God's
hands. She's so happy. She's so involved in the church. I mean, she started a food pantry with them, and her whole life revolves around it.
Well, that's great. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of beauty in people. I mean, I know I was raised in Protestantism, so I'm aware of some of the good that can come out of that, of course. I'm not saying that everything in Protestantism is bad and wrong and evil or something like that. But,
right. No, I agree with you. Yeah.
No, yeah.
But I just think she's missing out.
Of course.
She is missing out.
She is.
And I think that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so there is an obligation to do what we can, but you also don't want to do the opposite where you're pushing her further away by being too combative, for mm-hmm. example. So it find the best balance of that you can, and ask God for help, and ask the saints for their intercession as well. And but don't feel like you've failed or something if she doesn't convert within the next month or whatever. Mm-hmm. Sometimes these things even take several years, as I can attest to. So
we've seen cases, Kathy,
I
where
I feel like it's going to happen someday. I'm waiting for someone else to like open her eyes.
But she knows that you're Catholic, and she knows that you're the person to come to if and when that
Absolutely.
That pull comes. Yeah. And we have literally seen cases where the person was not interested until it was time to receive the last sacraments, and they didn't want to go home without having received the sacraments. And so you're there as her Catholic friend to help her back. You can't make things move faster than God wants them to move, and he's moving. Mm-hmm. He's definitely moving. So I would just like to add a suggestion, only because I know them, that the St. Paul Street Evangelization website has lots of great tips on just things that you can say that will be helpful, and they are not into breaking up, friendships over somebody who keeps pestering somebody. But that's not what they do. But there's just ideas of how you can respond to certain things so that the person is reminded of what the Catholic Church actually is, and maybe becomes attracted to it again.
Great. Thank you so much. I do want to mention one thing I think it was Jordan. I pray to St. Anthony all the time, and he has, every time I pray, he answers my prayer, like, immediately.
Yeah,
so my prayers are short and sweet, but they're not that one, of course. I don't like that prayer either. But I love St. Anthony. I pray to him for every need.
That's beautiful.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
Always.
And and St. Anthony probably found you. That's what I find with Catholics is you have a saint that I don't know how that saint found me, or that, like, I have a great devotion to Joan of Arc. Joan found me. I didn't find her, you know? And I think that's something that people don't know about these relationships we have with saints. I know there's millions of Catholic saints. I know there's probably ones that logically fit better with what I do but St. Joan, it just means a lot to me. And so I love talking with her. I love praying to her. And I'm glad you have that with St. Anthony. I don't think people, I often think people get caught up on the worshiping and the praying and all that, and they forget that, look, at the root of it, it's befriending. These saints are our friends, and they want to help us, and they're not fake friends. They're real friends.
It took me a long time to figure that out.
Yeah. God bless you, Kathy. Hey, yeah. if you want, I'll send you the book, The Early Church Was the Catholic Church, for your own reading. But also, maybe it'll give you something to talk with your friend about as well. Hang on if you'd like a copy of that book. I'm going to try to get everybody on here with Adrian before we have to go. Joseph's in Albury, New South Wales, Australia. Good day, Joseph.
Hi there. Thanks so much for taking my call. I just had a question that pertains to the area of gambling. Look, I know the Catechism mentions that something about it. It feels like the wording, it makes it sound like a gray area, and in some cases, I suppose it is. However, I'm just wanting to get just a little bit more clarification on the issue. This is something I've struggled with, but this is like also like I suppose I'm wanting to get more than just what the church teaches, so to speak. But I just, when I'm trying to read up saints, I don't feel like I get a lot of information out of it, or people's stories and experiences, and I'm really looking for sort of that comfort and reassurance that God is with me and that I can come through this time. And I would just love to have you guys, what are your prayers for me? And also just like, would you be able to say more about where we see this sort of in the Bible and how he wants to get us through, like addiction and that sort of thing?
Yes.
Thanks so much.
Yep. Joseph, I'm very grateful for your call. Thank you very much. So first of all, work us through the gambling thing, if you could, Adrian.
Yeah, I think of gambling kind of how I think of alcohol. It's not necessarily evil in and of itself, but if you have a problem with it, then it is your obligation to stay away from it. If you know that that is going to fall into, lead to deeper sins, then that is something you have to stay away from. That's kind of where I fall on that. So we can point to many problems where people have an issue with alcohol, for example, but the proper enjoyment of alcohol without getting drunk is still okay for the average person. If you have a problem with it, then I think you should stay away from it. And I think that kind of applies to gambling as well. I'm interested in your thoughts.
Go ahead, Joseph?
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, there's also like examples of saints that are like really sort of, I forgot their names, but if you look it up, there are examples of saints where they have made it a big, big deal that it is like a form of thievery, and it's a form of, because if you play, two people are playing and one person loses, there's one person who wins and the other loses as a result. And, but then both of those parties freely, by their own will, enter the game. And yeah. But I suppose, I just don't know. Like, in Australia, gambling is a huge deal because it's just legal everywhere. It's like,
I noticed that.
Las Vegas everywhere.
Yeah.
And there's each pokey machine gets about, like, on average, like $100,000 a year. So they make massive profits here. Mm. And a lot of people can really do themselves in. I don't know what more you
well,
can
Joseph,
say on this issue. There's also the thing of crypto. People discuss whether it's a, it's a great opportunity to invest or if it's just a gamble. And I don't know, but, more people at this very moment, it seems that people are getting excited because it's on a bull run. But then I'm like,
yeah,
tried that. And
right. They have those
like,
in casinos, too. Yeah. Bull runs in casinos, too. But Joseph, a couple things. Yeah. First of all, the saints can be very, very helpful on these things, but many of the saints are expressing their opinion. And so you always privilege what Scripture says and what the Church officially teaches. And so the official teaching of the Church is in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and it's essentially what Adrian just said. So there are many saints that we're speaking to a particular situation, and that's one of the things that the Church gives us, the general principles, the guidelines. And so individual saints, some of them had terrible, horrible, traumatic experiences that led to their opinions about certain things. The other thing that I would say to you is, if you would like a community of people that might be helpful in talking about addiction to gambling, it's here in the United States, but they do online meetings, and it's called Catholic in Recovery. And they don't limit it to any, they have lots of gambling addicts, they have pornography addicts, they have, of course, chemical dependency problems. But it's a Catholic support group for people. And so you'll hear a lot of Scripture, you'll hear a lot of reflection on what the saints have said or done in the lives of the saints. So I would suggest, too, just look into Catholic in Recovery. You can do the online meetings from anywhere in the world. Any other thoughts, Joseph?
Yeah, I wanted you guys to open up the place in the Bible, where I think it's John 19, where, Roman soldiers are casting lots for Jesus' robes at the foot of the cross. And, every time I've sort of had a relapse or thought where I've gambled irresponsibly, I think about that time. And I can you open that a little bit more up for me about what that was, or how in Scripture, how do we interpret that?
I think I would be honest with you. I think the primary thing is that it's the fulfillment of prophecy from the Psalms, that they cast lots for my clothes. And so I don't know that it's, I don't know that what kind of a commentary on gambling itself it is. It's a certain way of saying that it's showing how low the Messiah had come, that they just gambled about his stuff away. It didn't even belong to them. They thought so little of him that they just gambled over his stuff. So it probably has meanings that could be helpful in thinking about gambling, but primarily it's about how humiliated the Messiah is, because they cast lots for his clothes. I'm sorry, Joseph, we're right up against the break. You can hear the music, so I apologize for that. I hope you will check out Catholic in Recovery. Anybody who needs recovery help, just check it out, because you can do the online meetings, see if you'll like it, see if it's a helpful community to you. Our guests this hour has been Mr. Sips. He prefers that I call him Adrian Lawson, but Sips with Sarah is his podcast. Adrian, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. Always a good time.
Yeah, you're good company too. You know, people should know that. You're an awful, awful nice fella.
You heard it here.
Right, and that'll be the last time. That won't be said again. All right, when we come back, Dr. Italy's back, Marcellino D'Ambrosio on the gift of the papacy on Catholic Answers Live.